Hello and welcome to another You May or May Not Like It board game edition. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at xorsonx. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. You can find all of our shows at comicroast.com, and you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. You can also find us on Instagram at instagram.com/reviewandroast or /Star Wars Tabletop, or if you want to find me personally, /Slevin77. I'm also on Snapchat at xorsonx, so there's always that option as well. Let's see. I think there's an Instagram for Comic Roast, but...
There is. I just keep...
Not using it?
No, when I got my new phone, all my password information got lost in the ether, so I have
Blappity
to retrieve...
Snorpity boop.
Just have to retrieve it all.
Well, all right then. So today, I know I did not mention it yet, but today we are going to be talking about Orleans. It is a game, let me scroll back up here, from 2014 from Tasty Minstrel Games. During the medieval goings-on around Orleans, you must assemble a following of farmers, merchants, knights, monks, etc. to gain supremacy through trade, construction, and science in medieval France. We've actually done quite a few Tasty Minstrel games here, I believe, at this point. And they've all been awesome, and this one is the best one so far.
Hmm. That is not entirely...
That is correct.
That is not entirely wrong. If I just run down the Tasty Minstrel games in my own collection, I have Orleans, obviously. Belfort, Harbor, the original printing of Village.
I really like Village.
And Guilds of London.
Forgot about
I believe Village. That is my... Oh, no. I also have Rent-A-Hero, which is a Tasty Minstrel AEG collaboration. That one's okay. We'll do that eventually. But yeah, Tasty Minstrel Games is probably in my top five favorite game companies. Maybe top three. I don't know. It's a tough call because... not only are their components pretty much amongst the best in the business, they have some of the quirkiest games ever, and they're pretty great. And Orleans is a perfect example of pretty great.
Yeah. So basically, you start out with... So like my little synopsis said, and I'm sure there's some missing, but there's farmers, there's... knights, there's monks, there's scholars, there's there's like seven different guys. You start with four. Everyone starts with the same four, and they're just little cardboard discs, which I was actually a little surprised at. I was kind of thinking that, you know, maybe they would just be little colored meeples, but that's not the case. And basically what you do, you start with your four guys and you put those guys on your little action board where you can gain more guys and or get an action depending on the space that you choose. And it, unlike other games where you take one guy and put him here and he does that and take one guy, put him here and he does that, everything on your board or even what would be considered, I guess, the community board takes more than one guy. So if you've got your four discs out and you want to do two actions and this one takes three guys and this one takes like four, you know, two guys, well, obviously you can only do one. So when you put your guys out, they stay out until that action is eventually completed. But, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to lose out on that guy now. Yeah, but, you know, every turn when you pull your guys off to complete that action, they go in your bag and then you randomly draw whatever number you get out of the bag, put them in your pool, and then use those to, again, do more actions. So the actions in the game are you can get a monk, who is a wild.
Correct.
You can get a farmer, which doesn't sound like much, but they really do put an emphasis on farmers, because if you have the most, you get a coin every turn, and if you have the least, you have to pay a coin every turn. And farmers... are in just about every action. There's a couple they're not, but a lot of the actions on the board do require a farmer.
Not to mention you get goods every time you gather another farmer.
Exactly.
And as I found out the few times we played this game, goods really do add up towards final scoring.
Yes.
And you can use them to pay your taxes and your various fees, but it's kind of one of those things you want to try not to do.
Yeah.
So.
Tis true. There's also what I'm assuming are sailors. I don't know, the blue guys.
They're boatmen.
Boatmen, sailors, same thing.
As you go, yeah, and each character has a track, and you move up the track with your little cube that represents the color of your action board and or your meeple that's on the map. Because this game is broken up into, you have the charts or whatever, the little, what are they called? Where you move up the track, there's the left side of the board, where's the tracks for each character, the farmer, the scholar, the boatman, the knight, the
monastery, the monk, the priest, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And then on the right side is the map of Orleans and all the connecting little villages. And on the bottom is the scholar track, and as you move up, you gain more prestige points, you get more money, and you gather up the citizens along that board. And then there's your own action board, which facilitates all the actions on the main board, and then there's a third board, which is the village hall or something.
Town hall,
where you essentially retire your guys to get money and also try to gain the favor of the citizens in the various departments of the town hall. So you gotta, and then there's a set of tiles, which is essentially the timer of the game. Each, to start each round, you flip a new tile, and at the end of that round, you resolve that tile. Sometimes a tile is pilgrimage, which means nothing happens. Sometimes it's income, which means, ooh, I gain income for all my guilds. Sometimes it's taxes, you pay money on all your goods. Sometimes it's plague, which means you gotta randomly draw a guy out of the bag and kill him, which means he just goes back into the community pile, but you lose a, like, say if you only have one knight, and you have to kill your knight, now there's like three or four actions you can't do because you don't have a knight anymore.
Right.
So, all these little things kind of inform the other, which kind of moves. Actually, the game moves along really quick, or it feels like it does, because each round really only lasts a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And because everybody prepares their actions together, you remove your guys in turn order, because if somebody takes their guys off, now they've acquired a farmer, and there's only one farmer left. You can't be like, well, I put the farmer action out first, so I'll just take it. Like, you have to pretty much go at the mercy of the game, which unfortunately, as I also found out, sometimes you try to take an action someone else does, there's only one character left, and you get screwed out of them, which means not only do you not get the thing you're trying to get, but you also wasted however many of your workers.
Been there. Thanks, Max.
Yeah, it's really fantastic to watch how this game's all its little parts kind of make all the other little parts happen. And there's no hiccups amongst them all. It's like your action board, or as they like to call it, a tableau. Whatever. That facilitates the actions on the main board. And then if you use the one action on your personal board, it also moves guys into the town hall. The best part about the town hall is if there is a spot and there's eight individual spots, like say you need two knights, two workers, two scholars, two monks, you could put, because there's no you can't use your own starting guys, there's no indication of who has what guy. You just put them on the board, you get the money. But if you put out the seven spots and then somebody goes, oh, there's one spot left and he doesn't have a boatman, boop, that person gets paid and they get the citizen. The citizens are huge for endgame scoring.
As I knew and learned and smoked everyone both times I played this game. Just saying. Patting myself on the back now. What we liked about the game, I guess, is where we'll start.
Right.
And this is weird because every other tasty minstrel game we've played, the first thing that we always say is, go, it's too short. There should be at least one or two more rounds. This game, the first time we played it, felt almost perfect. The second time around, the end definitely came quicker, and it's a lot harder to accomplish what you want when there's more players, obviously, because the first time around, it was just the two of us, and, you know, I was counting the tiles, so I knew how much longer the game was going to last, and I knew what actions I had to do every turn, because I'm like, okay, I need to get up these citizens, so I need, you know, five turns to get myself up the boatman track to get the citizen, so that's going to be my action every single turn now until the end of the game, at least that, if not others. Plus, I was building a ton of guild halls, which counts as a shit ton of points as well. And the scholar track on the bottom, I mean, there's a lot of ways to increase your score at the end, but I pretty much nailed it. But I will say, adding a third person, I would imagine even a fourth person, because your options really do start to get limited, it probably could use more rounds. But with two players, it's perfect as far as that, because we were never bumping heads, in my opinion. I know I did some dickish things, but of course I did them on purpose because I wanted to win. But like in the first game, when it was just the two of us, I took a lot of the monks as quickly as possible because they're wilds. Who wouldn't want a bag full of wild cards? Well, when we played with three people, Max had the same idea. And quickly enough, he had all of them. I didn't have any yet. I'm like, son of a bitch. Which really hampered me, even though I still won the game. But there's so much to do in this game. And I feel like you have plenty of time if you stay focused from the beginning. It's one of those games, though, where if, you know, two or three turns in, you realize you done fucked up. It might be kind of hard to come back from. But if you stay on task and you stay on point the whole game, I feel like you can really accomplish just about everything you want to do. I mean, sometimes it gets hard moving around on the map if someone else is like already there or already in your way or already took the resource you were trying to get. That does suck. But overall, there's a lot of options in this game. I don't know. But yeah, I dig.
Well, that is kind of the awesome part of this game is there's so many different things to try and do and so many different paths to try and score points that, at least for myself, I found myself going like, ooh, I want to do that. Ooh, I want to try that. Ooh, I want to build that. Ooh, I want to get that. Because each, like I said, each track is for each different character. The farmer, as you move up, you get you get a new character, but you also get whatever the track says. So, like, you'll get, like, early on, you'll get, the lower resources, and then you'll get the middle ones, and then you'll start getting the more pricey ones. And then the next track, I forget, is the engineer or something like that. Each time you move up, you get a technology token, which you can use to cover one of the actions on your board. So if, say, something costs three of your guys, you can put a technology token on the guy you have the least amount of. Now it only costs two. You really, if you're like, I'm going to get farmers every single turn, you can use that guy to cover up all the farmer actions and literally just take one every turn. Kind of silly because there's only so many in the game, but it's possible to do that. Then there's the architect, which turned out to be my favorite because there are tiles that show era 1 on the back, and there's a set that says era 2 on the back. And as you move up, you can pick tiles from those two piles, and they become part of your board now. So you can build your personal board out to get certain actions faster. You can get points faster. You can move up the whatever they call it, the technology track quicker. And then the boatman gets you money, and the knight allows your hand size to grow each turn. But that's the thing. You got to try and figure out, like, what's the best. Do you want to go all knights early and then move up the track faster?
All knights.
But then again, you need a balance of certain things. If you want to get monks, which are the wilds, you need the scholar. The scholar you can only get the scholar costs a lot to get. There's no guarantee you're going to get the right characters when you draw out of the bag, especially as you keep adding more in. If you only have a hand size of six, you got 14 guys in the bag, you might not get what you want. You might get too many of the guy you don't really need. But then again, there's one tile in the game, turns all of your scholars into wilds as well, which doubles the amount of options you have. There's so many, so many different choices to make. And like when I first watched reviews on this game and they were talking about the bag building aspect, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to like that. That sounds kind of weird. And then playing it, I'm like, I fucking love this mechanic.
Yep.
I don't know where it's come from. I don't know if it was invented for this game, but it's great. And then, as usual, Tasty Minstrel's artwork is fantastic. It's lighthearted. I mean, it's not all like serious knights and wizards and scholars and like all imposing. It's very cartoony. It's very like, which is, I don't know. It's hard to describe. It's got a lot of different elements of a lot of different game styles. And I think one of the complaints people have about Euro games is they're a little bit too non-combative. It's a lot of just gathering resources and building stuff, and it's just a race to build stuff. And then the complaints of a lot of Ameritrash games is it's too combative, too much stabbing your neighbor and dicking everybody over. This game has a little bit of both, which is so much fun because you get to do the building and you get to do the yay and all the, you know, all the positive, you know, moving up the track and I'm the leader on this thing, but you can also swoop in and town hall somebody and
or yeah, you can, it's not exactly attacking, but it's definitely dick moves.
Yeah, it's like somebody, you see somebody is poised to go down this river track and take the cloth, which is the most worth the most points at the end of the game, and you're like, oh wait, I'll just come from this side and go boop and take it as right from out from under them. And not much you can do, but, you know, working on some dick moves.
All right, so moving on to things we don't like about this game. That's really kind of hard. You know what? I'll tell you right now. It's not that hard. And I'm sure when you're playing with five, does it go up to five people, five players?
Two to four.
Maybe with four. I don't know. There are some spots in the town hall that in order to close it out and get the citizen takes four guys. That literally will take you two turns, no big deal. Even though you're sacrificing the four guys, but whatever. But there are spots on there that in order to get the citizen, like, it takes like 10 guys. Like, there's,
and the payout's no better. It's a one coin per guy.
Yeah, like there's other spots. You put a guy in there, you get $2. Put a guy in there, you get $2. Put a guy in there, you get $2 and a citizen. You know what I mean? Then there's this other, like the top one. It goes across the entire top of the board. It's got to be like 10 guys. You get one coin for putting a guy in there. And I feel like you're never going to get that citizen.
That one, I feel like it's going to take a four-player game to cover it.
And it's not the only one. There's plenty of spaces in there that have like six or more spots. It's like, dude, that's getting...
It's a little silly. I feel like there's a...
Town Hall should be redesigned.
Yeah, they could find a way to differentiate the like initial rewards. There's like, say if there's 14 spots, 8 of them are one coin. We'll say there's 12 spots. No, we'll say there's 14. So 8 of them would be one coin. 5 of them would be 2 coins. And the last spot would be one coin or 1 point up the knowledge track. I feel like... 2 coins obviously is the most beneficial, especially if you're behind in the farmer race because you got to pay a coin at the beginning of every round. But 1 coin, meh, who cares? And then I just feel like there should be a couple of different options maybe. Like maybe one space could be like a coin or a wine or a coin and a cheese. Or a cheese. Like, you can pick different resources or the money, or you can just take the $2, or you could take the point on the knowledge track. Something like that. Maybe just kind of break it up a little bit and go, man, I really, really need some cheaper resources because the end of this round is plague and you got to pay this, and I could really use a cheese to kind of not have to give up money. Boom, I'll do that. A little more variety. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one.
All right, so... And this, again, it's a tough one to find, but, you know, something I would do differently. And thinking about it for a minute here, I almost, like, everyone has their own action board. But you're taken collectively from the same resource pool, which is kind of cool because, you know, if you run out of guys, you're screwed. I almost wish that there was a couple of actions that were community style. That way, I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know what I would change, and I don't even know if that might ruin the game for me. But if you took, like, one or maybe two and added a few actions or something that, like, with the tiles you can get, if you took, like, the top three tiles off, you know, randomly and put them next to the, you know, the resource board, and those were now actions everybody can take. Feel like that might introduce more dick moves and maybe a different aspect. I don't know. I really got nothing because overall the game works so well together. So without maybe throwing in some like community actions, I don't even know what to put in there.
My only suggestion, and it's, again, nothing that's going to necessarily make the game better, and there's not, again, there's not a lot in this game that I'm like, man, if they just did this, it'd be so much better. Or if they put this in there, it'd be so much better. Because there's not a lot of so much better to go around in this game. This game is really quite excellent. But the only thing I can kind of think of to maybe change it a little bit without breaking it, in the Sons of Anarchy board game, there's a deck of cards, and each round, a card gets flipped, and it's a temporary location. You can only use it that round, and whoever gets there first gets to use it, and then it goes away. Maybe a similar, like you get a deck of 30 cards, there's only 18 rounds in the game, you shuffle it, card comes out. This round, if you take this spot, you can get a farmer for only one guy instead of two. Or this one, you use a farmer and a boatman, and you can get any two resources you want. That's really all I got, because, and I'm not saying like that's what the game needs. The game doesn't need anything.
Yeah.
It really doesn't need a thing. It's pretty much pristine as is. So I feel like the length is perfect. Even though there's a lot to do, I never felt like, man, I didn't get to do any of this because I was focused on that. I feel like the choices are deliberate, so it's like if you didn't do this, it's because you chose to go that way.
Right, because everyone has the same exact options the whole game.
Right, yeah, that there's no like.
I mean, depending, of course, you know, depends on what you draw out of your bag, but when you're drawing eight fucking guys, you know, everyone's got the same actions in front of them, so it's just a matter of what you think is going to benefit you the most.
Yeah, I feel like once you get like a couple of wilds in your bag, as long as you draw one per round, you have pretty close to limitless options. And there are just going to be certain rounds where, like, I don't really need this kind of guy right now because I want to do this first, so I really need that guy. And as far as the map goes, like, there's so much room on the map to maneuver around, so it's not like you're like, oh, man. Like, in Village, the main benefit goes to the first person to explore, whereas in this game, if this guy goes left, just go south. If that guy goes north, you just go to the west. It's not a big deal. There's so many different converging paths that don't necessarily cross over one another. So there's a ton of options just on the map alone. And it's not inconceivable to build half or more of your guilds without running into anybody. The only thing is when you cross certain paths, some items are better than others. But
right. Well, and this is the one thing I actually did run into with the three-player game is there was, a resource on the board I wanted to pick up, but in order for me to double back and get it, I would have landed on a town that already had someone else's town hall. So then I had to come up with, okay, do I want to go that way and get the resource but lose a town hall, or do I want to go this way and get, you know, the slightly not as good resource, but then I can still build my guild hall. You know, there's a lot of things you got to think about, which is another plus in this for this game, in my opinion.
Yeah, but even then, like, it's not like you're sitting there, like, with your, like, head in your hands going, like, I don't know what to do. Like, you can look at the board and go, okay, I really wanted to do this, but I still got to do this, this, and this. These things are available. I'll put this off for one more round, and I'll get this, this, and this. And this might actually make doing this thing easier next round anyway. So it's not like you got to sit there and go, my plans, they're ruined. Now what do I do? You pretty much go, all right, forget this one this time. We'll do this instead. We'll come back to it. That's how, like, the rounds just move quickly. And because everybody's placing their workers at the same time, there's no going, like, okay, and staring at the board and go, well, do I want to go here? Do I want to go there? And everyone else is sitting there going, will you fucking place a guy already?
Right.
There is none of that, which such a small little variation, but it's just everybody's raved about how great this game is, and I was super excited to play it, and I kept feeling like every weekend, I'm like, I want to play that game. Why are we playing that game? Finally play that game, and I'm like, oh my God, I see exactly why everyone loves this. So there you go. I got really, there's not much to change here.
Agreed.
Maybe give the knight a mustache.
Don't get silly.
Don't get silly. Correct. But yes, I hate to say any game is perfect, but this one's pretty, pretty close.
Yeah, it is pretty, pretty awesome. So, I guess we can go ahead and, what do you call it? Label it? Number it.
Number it.
All right. So, my number for this one, this is a 9 all day long.
I am going to get crap for this, but I don't care. I am going to give this game a 9.5.
Why would you get crap for that?
I feel like when you start creeping above 9, it's like, oh, here we go. There's always something you could find about every game, and perhaps so. Maybe if I play this game 6 or 8 more times, I'll go, oh, you know what? I really don't like this. But I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe the bags will fall apart. I'll be like, these bags suck. 9. But, right. This is an easy 9.5 for me.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got a ton of options, a ton of strategy, and yet it's super easy to learn. I feel like I could teach my nephews how to play this, and maybe they won't make the best decisions, but they'll get the mechanics. I feel like the game is as easy as Carcassonne or Ticket to Ride to learn the basic idea of you do this, you take that. You do this, you move up this track. Super simple, but there's a ton of decisions, and it's super, I don't know, it's really strategic, but it moves fast. There's not a lot of sitting there and thinking. There's not a lot of scratching your head going, now what do I do? Like, it's pretty much cut and dry, and you don't have to spend a lot of time, like, planning out the next 4 rounds. You can just move and plan as it comes. So, yeah, a 9.5.
Alrighty, there you go. Orleans on Tasty Minstrel Games. Another one worthy of your shelf. Of course, that is if you like the worker placement, resource management type games.
With a little bit of area control, area management, a little bit of dick moves.
Neat.
A little bit of bag building.
A little bit of, you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. You can also find us on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can also find us on Instagram at Review and Roast. You can also go to your face with Review and Roast. So there you have it. That is going to be the episode for today. So have a good week.